broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Butchman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And man, do we got a lot to discuss, a lot going on right now. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. LibertyRoundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network, spreading the word of liberty 24/7 around the clock. Not only is Liberty Roundtable live 6 days a week via that venue, LovingLiberty.net, but there's other talk show hosts around the clock doing a phenomenal job as well. Kate Daly, Beth Ann Schoenberg, C.L. Bryant, just to name a few. Washington Watch, Mr. Perkins, and many others just doing a great Tony Perkins, that is, I should say. Mr. Perkins doing a great job with Washington Watch. Anyway, just a lot of great commentary, great talk show hosts. By the way, you can get our phone apps on LovingLiberty.net as well. Get the Android or the iPhone app. Download it. It's free. On demand or live radio. I should say and live radio, so live and on demand. You can give feedback. You can donate. You can follow our Twitter feed and a whole lot more. LovingLiberty.net. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. Of course, we had James Edwards on with us. James Edwards is a talk show host in his own right, does an incredible program on the weekends called ThePoliticalCesspool.org. He's also an author. He wrote the book called Racism, a Schmacism, basically just demonstrating how they call everybody a racist. And if you fall for that narrative, they take you out of the game with that. They sideline you. They make you out to be a nobody, worthless, and most white people just fall for it and then try to defend themselves. Well, I'm not a racist. Come on, I got a black friend. And then you say all kinds of stupid stuff, as if you have a token black friend or this or that. And the fix is in if you fall for it. What you got to do is just smile and go, you lie, but we move on. And you stick to the issues and you stand for liberty. And Americans over time see the truth. Anyway, James talks about race and all kinds of equality issues in America. Why can every other race advocate for their race and they're not racist, but if a white person does it, they're somehow a supremacist, a racist? James Edwards, Race, Politics, and Hypocrisy in 21st Century America. ThePoliticalCesspool.org is his website. Well, anyway, yesterday, James breaks down the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally and trial. The SLAPP, S-L-A-P-P, suit was brought by the nonprofit group. It's called Integrity First for America. It's an extreme liberal, progressive organization. You used to think IFA was like your farm store. Not anymore, baby. It's a group that just wants to slap lawsuits on people. And you want to know what a slap suit is? Slap equals strategic lawsuit against public participation. In other words, it is nothing but a goal to shut down and stifle free speech that you disagree with. So if I have a lot of money and I don't like your speech, what I do is slap, S-L-A-P-P, this suit on you. It's a slap suit where I don't really want a redress of grievances. You haven't really harmed me. But what I want to do is just shut you down, bankrupt you, and just put you flat out on the ropes. That's what these slap lawsuits are about. That's what I believe are going on in Charlottesville right now. Donald Trump said there were both troublemakers and good people on both sides of the conflict in Charlottesville. And I think he's right as rain about that. I think there were bad apples on both sides. I think there were people that took the law into their own hands and took actions of violence, which they should not have done. But I also think there was great people on both sides trying to do their best. Some believe that the statues preserving America's history are racist and evil. That's what they've been taught their whole lives in the government schools, right? Others feel like those statues are really a representation of who we are as a people, and their heroes are being destroyed. I get the feelings on both sides. I also get the bad people exploited the situation. But I wonder whether it's bad people on both sides exploiting the situation, or I wonder if government provocateurs were in the mix. It seems like in Charlottesville, no one's really been able to finger government provocateurs. I don't know how many people are spending time looking into that, but they certainly ought to. I will tell you that right now. Anyway, very interesting. But James Edwards doing a great job. He's been listening to the trial. Because of COVID, you can't go. Most people can't get into the trial. But they provided a phone line, and James Edwards, well-known talk show host and author and reporter and everything else, listening to literally every word for the last 3 weeks on this thing. It's been like 17, quote, court days thus far. As far as I understand, the prosecution just rested. Now the defendants are taking the stage, but they're not going to take very long, I'm told. And I don't understand why they're not going to really highlight some of these reality checks, but time will tell. Anyway, that's the deal. But the mainstream press is being very, very, very unfair. What they're doing, from Vice to the Associated Press to BuzzFeed News and beyond, they're really basically just talking about this guy who used his car and ran into a bunch of people and killed a woman, Heather, killed Heather. And, you know, the problem with this narrative is that twofold problem. One, it's been said that he didn't really try to kill anybody. What he tried to do was flee. His car was being pummeled and he was fearing for his life when Antifa and others were attacking him and his vehicle. So he punched it in an effort to get away from them. And the car got away from him and he ran into people unintentionally. Now, I don't know the truth. I haven't talked to the gentleman, but that's what they say. But what they've done is put this guy in basically prison for life because he killed somebody. But now they're bringing him into this trial, too. What for? I don't really know. Nevertheless, it makes the prosecution and the media in bed with the prosecution have the ability to really double down and go, yeah, everybody's a white supremacist. Yeah, everybody's a Nazi. Yeah, everybody loves Hitler. Yeah, everybody killed the, well, Miss Innocent over here, and man, it's really bad, and everybody's basically a murderer. And even though they're not literally saying that outright, that's what the inferences are. Okay, so the worst person that gets on the stand and says the most crazy stuff, then that's the person that, well, that and the guy that murdered everybody in the car. See, that's what white supremacists, that's what Hitler lovers do. That's what Nazis do. And so they've really taken this narrative to the ramped up crazy degree. Whereas, you know what, there's a few people saying crazy things. I'm so sorry about that accident that did occur, how it occurred and by who and what. And I don't know that. But all I'm telling you is I'm sad that somebody died. I'm sad that there was violence. I'm sad about all that. But let's be honest, open and fair about free speech rights, about someone's right to peacefully assemble, about someone's right for self-defense. And let's be very clear about a conspiracy to commit violence. That's a very hard thing to prove. And what we need to do is be very careful in America that we don't jump to conclusions, that we realize people are innocent until proven guilty. But the mainstream press in bed with the prosecution on this side, they have literally already painted a picture of guilt before you can ever even get a chance to defend yourself. So that's what's going on in this case. James Edwards listening to the case now. Hopefully he'll be chiming in to break things down for us a little bit more next hour. And if he can, he'll jump in a little bit early and brief us too, depending on what happens in the case. We're waiting for Rich Hamlin, I think, to testify, who we know well and who is, I don't know what you want to call it. He's on the milder side of this discussion compared to some. At the same time, he's not apologizing for who he is. Neither is James Edwards. Neither am I. Look, I'm not a white supremacist. I don't hate people. I lead with the clarion call for civility. That's who I am, right? But I'm still willing to report on this case, primarily because I don't believe it's being dealt with fairly in the media at all. And somebody's got to tell the other side of the story, for crying out loud. Somebody. I'm not really telling one or the other side of the story. I'm doing my very best to be honest about what's really happening. And here's the facts. You ready? People are innocent until proven guilty. That is a fact. Here's the other fact. Every individual needs to be tried individually. Why they've got this massive trial where witnesses galore parading across the stage, I don't know. But they got this massive trial. It's got nine groups and 24 defendants in it, for example. Something's amiss with that. The inference that, A, the prosecution's just good old boys doing the best they can to have honesty and accountability is bogus. The idea that everybody's a complete Hitler-loving, white supremacist, extreme hater using the court for their own personal stage is a bogus, false, dishonest narrative. The truth is the prosecution has plenty of cash. And the truth is it's a slap lawsuit. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, these poor defendants, 24 of them from nine groups, you know what? They have beliefs all over the map, just like everyone does. Some of them may be more guilty than others. Some of them may be more loose-lipped with their speech. But that doesn't mean they had a conspiracy to commit violence. See, you got to separate these issues. And you can't put them all in the same, oh, they're all identical, they're all just one. And you certainly can't say they all committed a conspiracy. Maybe a couple did. I don't know. But I'm telling you right now, the majority didn't. The majority are fairly good people. Nine times out of ten, it's a bad actor or two that ruins the whole thing. And that's what I submit's going on here. But why don't we have a lawsuit the other direction against Antifa? And again, okay, that's the kind of the problem here going on. All right, anyway, enough of that. We'll get more to it when James Edwards returns with more details. We got a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. I'm only halfway through the recap of yesterday's show, and man, we got a lot of news the networks refused to use today to go as well. Hang tight, hard-hitting talk in seconds. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards keeping me up to date by email on the Charlottesville trial. And there's a big argument in front of the judge on whether Rich Hamblin can testify or not. Anyway, James will be coming on the broadcast with us to break us down in more detail second hour. In the meantime, we're just doing the best we can here. But I'm in the middle of the recap of yesterday's show. Man, it was a killer broadcast. James broke down the Charlottesville case. Weeks of testimony all crammed into 1 hour, kind of summarized to the best of our ability. We'll keep an eye on this case. We got a lot of other cases we're following as well. But yesterday's second hour, it was the Brighty on TV, the Sheriff Mac Show, Liberty Roundtable Live simulcast. And we had our guest on, Union County, Oregon Sheriff Cody Bowen, doing a great job. And the Union job, wow, and the Union County Sheriff sends a letter to Governor Kate Brown in response to the mask and vaccine mandates. Wow, mask and vaccine mandates. Recently enacted by the Oregon governor, she's out of control, and the sheriff called her on the carpet like nobody's business. He started out civil enough, said, hey, I want to, you know, let's have a dialogue about this. But then Sheriff Cody Bowen finishes by saying this: we will raise our children how we see fit. We will choose to wear a mask or choose not to wear a mask. We will choose to get vaccinated or choose not to get vaccinated. Your mindless dictates will no longer be tolerated. Amen to the sheriff, ladies and gentlemen, on that score. Archives of the simulcast of the Sheriff Mac Show on Liberty Roundtable Live Hour 2 can be found at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, or if you want the video, brighteon.tv. Check that all out. There you have that, and that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday as well. All right, there's so much to cover, so little time, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about this Kyle Rittenhouse trial a little bit. The jury deliberations begin now. As, what do they call this place? Kenosha, is that how you say it? Braces for the verdict. And people are saying it doesn't matter how this thing goes. There's going to be people literally rioting in the streets, kind of crazy on this thing. I pray not. But they say it'll be up to 12 jury members to determine whether Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty of the homicide and attempted homicide charges. I guess it's in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And they say that the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was set to begin deliberating on Tuesday after lawyers from both sides made their final arguments. It'll be up to 12 jury members to determine what happens, whether he's guilty of the first degree intentional homicide of Anthony Huber, or Huber, I guess is how you say it, first degree reckless homicide of Joseph Rosenbaum, and attempted first degree intentional homicide of Gage Crosskreutz. But remember, Gage, I think, is the guy that said, I pulled a gun on Kyle. So it's a very rough discussion here. Rittenhouse, then 17 years old, shot the three men during a violent night in Kenosha last August, following days of protests. After, now listen to this, and here's kind of the interesting twist to this. After a white police officer wounded Jake Blake, a black man, in a shooting. Now, here's the problem. I think a lot of people are deceived thinking that Kyle killed a black man. White Kyle killed a black man. That's not true. Rittenhouse's defense is that it's a self-defense case, right? And the now 18-year-old, believe it or not, took the stand to say he feared for his life that night. Now, that's interesting because usually better part of valor says don't take the stand in this case. It just doesn't do you good. But he did take the stand. And he said he feared for his life. And some of the cross-examined witnesses were forced to admit, at least one of them, that he pulled a gun on Kyle first. Prosecutors, however, have cast Rittenhouse as a, quote, vigilante who came to Kenosha looking for trouble and used unreasonable, excessive, deadly force in anticipation of the potential for violence. After the verdict, anyway, I guess they say that they were already sending 500 plus troops there. Kyle didn't need to go. He was looking for a fight. That's the prosecution's view. I guess the jury will also be allowed to consider lesser counts, lesser points. I guess they say Rittenhouse brought a gun to a fist fight, is how they describe it, and created an active shooter situation. But that's not really the deal. All right, Kyle was not an active shooter. That's a buzzword, they say. And they say Rosenbaum was really the bad man. Now, they really showed all kinds of videos in the court about this. It's a huge issue. But really, in my opinion, we're in serious, serious trouble in America, ladies and gentlemen. I personally don't think Kyle should have been there with a gun in the first place. You don't roam the streets in America in riot situations with guns and expect things to go well. Okay? Now, do I think that Rittenhouse was involved in self-defense? Yes, I do. I think he did fear for his life. And this is the problem that we see. And since Charlottesville and or since the Kyle Rittenhouse situation, we have seen Antifa and Black Lives Matter involved in violence after violence after violence. They claim that the white supremacists are the violent one in Charlottesville, and all the other people are just peaceful and just getting abused by the poor Hitler-loving white supremacists. But we know from other instances, in other words, you got to put a lot of this stuff in context, if you will. Look, the conservatives, whenever they have an event, it's not wild, it's not crazy, it's not radical, it's not violent, it's not extreme. They're mellow. But whenever you see BLM and Antifa and these kind of people show up at events, they're always violent. They're taking over cities. They're threatening cops. They're getting crazy. We see this all the time, folks. And that's one thing that you need to really put to these cases, whether it be the Rittenhouse trial and or the Charlottesville trial, ladies and gentlemen. You got to really kind of put it in context. And you got to really kind of understand it and think through it and go, huh, what the heck? Well, that's right, what the heck, because you can't just act like it's all one-sided. It's not. But you also can know which side is committing the greater, do I dare say the greater sin? What do I mean by that, you say? Well, like I say, whenever you see Black Lives Matter, Antifa show up somewhere, it goes violent all the time. There's violations of private property rights. There's damage and vandalism. You don't see that with conservatives hardly ever. In this case, though, the police literally mixed people together, creating a crisis on both sides in Charlottesville. But in the Kyle Rittenhouse situation, hey, should he have brought a gun and should he have been there? Probably not. I would not have gone. I'll tell you that right now. But was he involved in self-defense? I think it's clear that he was. In fact, when a witness who got shot literally says, I pulled a gun on Kyle, and Kyle responded to my gun, I don't know how you feel, but that to me pretty much tells the tale. Kyle was also fleeing and being chased, from what I understand. How does that happen if Kyle's the total aggressor all the time? So things aren't making sense here, but we know that Antifa, we know that Black Lives Matter, wherever they appear, there seems to be violent scenarios, right? Isn't that, you know, really the case? Anyway, so the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, we'll see what the jury comes up with. I fear oftentimes for the instructions they're given to juries. Do they know they can just flat out, one person can hang the jury and protect Kyle here? Look, if Kyle did shoot somebody when he shouldn't have, he's going to have to live with that. He'll know. He's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life. But do I believe we ought to put Kyle in jail forever? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So time will tell. We'll keep an eye on this ball just for you. But this is serious because there's a lot of cases going on right now, folks. Our prayers are that we have honesty and integrity in the courts. And I pray the jury has the foresight, the insight to make the right decisions and have mercy tempered with justice. Isn't that the American way? This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
I can't imagine any circumstance in which the Patriot Act would be used in the circumstances of parents complaining about their children, nor can I imagine a circumstance where they would be labeled as domestic terrorism.
What happens when the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, appears to have lied to Congress? That's what Americans are waking up to this morning. A whistleblower has released an internal email that was dated a day before Attorney General Merrick Garland appeared before Congress in sworn testimony. Representative Jim Jordan on Fox News.
He either didn't know, which is terrible, or he misled the committee when he came in front of us, and we need to have him back, plain and simple.
Jurors weighing charges against Kyle Rittenhouse continue Wednesday for a second day of deliberations in his trial. Last summer, protesters became rioters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and burned the city where Mr. Rittenhouse's father lives. This is USA Radio News.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Shante, can you sweep that, please?
Mina's salon business is growing faster than she can keep up with. She needs a new shop manager before her bookings go out of style.
Curtain bangs and balayage would look so good on you. Just hang on one second. Can you please answer that?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Can the federal government take away your rights, all in the spirit of public health?
Dr. Fauci told CBS Sunday Morning senior contributor Ted Koppel that there's a misplaced perception about people's rights superseding societal safety. That would be Dr. Fauci's opinion. Robert Kennedy Jr. spoke with Fox's Tucker Carlson. He places a lot more value on freedom.
But we're lucky that there was a whole generation of Americans in 1776 who said it would be better to die than to not have these rights written down. And they gave us that. They gave us that gift of that Bill of Rights.
From the USA Radio News, West Texas Bureau, I'm Brad Bernards.
While federal officials continue to limit who can receive a coronavirus booster shot, some governors are circumventing that guidance to offer COVID-19 booster shots to anyone over 18. California made the first move on November 9th, instructing health officials to trust patients to decide whether a booster is appropriate. USA Radio News.
I am Sam Bushman, live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live continues on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use talk station. We're talking about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial deliberations begin for the jury as everybody braces for the verdict, and many people are saying it's going to go south either way. This is kind of the problem that I have. Again, why are we rioting in the streets, ladies and gentlemen? Why does jury fear no matter how they rule in this case? Why don't we let the jury just get to the honest truth to the best of their ability? And why don't we trust the process in America? Sadly, because the process has been broken for a long time and juries have become political and everything else. Okay, this shouldn't be a racial divide discussion. Okay, it was a white cop that shot a black man that preceded Rittenhouse's reality here. Rittenhouse didn't kill a black man. All right. I don't know why this is tinged with racism. I don't know why this is tinged with supposed allegations of white supremacy and everything else. Okay. Was Rittenhouse acting in self-defense? Yes or no is the real deal. And I submit that I believe that he was. Why do I say that? Because a witness literally says, I pulled a gun on Rittenhouse and I had a gun too. Well, now I'd be shooting, saving my life if I had to as well. Now, the fact that Rittenhouse was there in the first place and that this thing was set up, that you could say that's a lapse in judgment. I get it. You can even say he was looking for a fight. But that doesn't equate to murdering someone or committing a homicide or anything else. Okay, let's be very careful about what we allege, especially in these situations where there's a court case pending. Let's be very careful indeed. I believe that Kyle Rittenhouse was acting in self-defense. I think he was foolishly there. But I think he acted in self-defense. And I think the sad part about this is that he's on trial. And every time it's a conservative white guy on trial, they're the only ones that cannot show up at a peaceful assembly and get away with, well, a peaceful assembly. It always turns out that, hey, somehow things go crazy. And in Rittenhouse's self-defense scenario, or the Charlottesville conservatives, or whatever you want to call them, unite the right, whatever word we want to use for these people, they were defending themselves too, but you can't defend yourself. And we've literally documented in the news that the FBI over and over and over has let Antifa go. Black Lives Matter, go. And even if somebody gets beat up by Antifa or Black Lives Matter and they happen to be white, the FBI literally acts like they were the guilty ones. Right? In other words, what I'm saying is FBI protects Antifa and BLM big time. And there's been cases over and over to this reality. In fact, it gets so bad that FBI blatantly admits that it does not track leftist violence. Town hall with that piece, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that. The FBI doesn't track leftist violence? What the heck? Why not? I mean, the FBI, I thought, was tracking all kinds of violence. But the FBI does not track leftist violence. Why? I mean, this is seriously concerning, if you ask my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Does it concern you? I don't even know how to respond to this stuff. Where do we go with this? There's more and more and more evidence that the FBI is literally picking sides. And so when you do this, it's obvious why the blacks and the Antifa and the liberals and the socialists and the communists and the Black Lives Matters and the, all these violent groups, we don't have a record of their violence because we don't track it. But they track the white people's violence. In my opinion, we need to track and stop all violence. I'm not interested in left-wing or right-wing violence. Are you? I don't know how to respond to this. FBI does not track Antifa violence or radical black left. How do you respond to this kind of stuff? All right. That's what we're talking about here. Right? So think about that. That ought to be submitted, in my opinion, as part of the court case. FBI admits it doesn't track leftist violence. I mean, this is all over the news. Right? During the misnamed Summer of Love, riots, looting, vandalism, and political violence was carried out by the radical left under the literal Antifa and Black Lives Matters banners. They besieged federal property, private businesses, law enforcement. But hey, they're not even tracking it. I mean, how do you respond to this kind of stuff, folks? How do you deal with this? In my opinion, there's like 25 news sites that covers this. All right? I don't know how to deal with this. They caused all kinds of problems. Joe Biden and others turned a blind eye to the violence. For political reasons. It's a stunning display of hypocritical double standards. Believe it or not, in certain cases, Democrats even encouraged more leftist violence and belligerent, out-of-control activism. But the FBI, turned a blind eye as well. And there was a congressional hearing that even talked about this, titled Confronting Violent White Supremacy. And they don't consider Antifa to be an organization, and that's why they don't have specific information on the group's activities. So in response to a question about how much violence or domestic terrorism Antifa has committed in recent years, nothing. We don't track it. We don't identify groups, but individuals' actions. But see, they're painting these white supremacists as a group, as an ideology. So would you qualify Antifa as an anarchist group under your subcategory? I mean, it's an anarchist group, right? Said the questioner. No, they're a movement. They're not really a group. See? See? That's the problem. How many open cases of anarchist violence and domestic terrorism have occurred over the last 2 years? Seeking any data that might quantify accountability for those who literally raised neighborhoods and violated private property rights and so on. 75 total arrests, they say. But Americans could be held under siege by Antifa and BLM for months while officials failed to address the situation. There was no concern for the massive crowds taken to the streets. Liberal mayors literally allowed what are called so-called autonomous zones that turned into festering pits of crime and filth. And now it turns out the nation's top law enforcement agency doesn't even have numbers on the groups of the violence. There you have it. What do you say to that, ladies and gentlemen? So, see, I don't know why in these cases, why the conservatives aren't putting on this reality check. I just gave you an FBI admits that it doesn't track leftist violence, townhall.com. There's a lot of research on this. During the, quote, misnamed Summer of Love, riots, looting, vandalism, and political violence was carried out by radical leftists under the often literal Antifa and Black Lives Matter banners. And we just ignore it. And we say, well, we don't even track that. Wow. Yeah, they literally had deadly outcomes to a lot of this. But the FBI says, we're not really worried about it. We don't even track it. They're not even a group, whatever. I think that should be submitted as evidence, ladies and gentlemen. The conservatives, the whites, whatever term you want to use, to, you know, the unite the right, whatever. I'm not a unite the right guy personally. I'm an American. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a freedom-loving civil leader for civility, right? But I'm telling you right now, this should be brought up when the FBI doesn't even track the leftists. But we literally have evidence under banners from these groups. Wow. Shocking, ladies and gentlemen. Well, people are standing up and not taking it, and I'll tell you who coming up in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches. In wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, I'm watching the news real time. Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious, serious business. Are you ready? All right, here it goes. Prosecution caught lying in closing argument in Kyle Rittenhouse murder trial. Mike Landry, Western Journal with the reality check, ladies and gentlemen. The prosecution, in the first slide of their closing arguments, made sure that the jury saw a slide that said Rittenhouse killed two unarmed people and severely wounded a third person with an AR-15 that he knew he couldn't have. Well, you want to know the problem with that, ladies and gentlemen? The judge dismissed the charge that Rittenhouse had an illegal gun. So there you have it. And whether the prosecution is going to get caught on this reality check or not, I don't know. But what you have in my mind is a situation where the prosecution literally violating reality. So think about this. The issue comes up. Rittenhouse had an illegal gun. 17 years old, shouldn't have had the gun. The judge dismisses that charge and says, we're not going to go there. Not true. Now the prosecution in their closing arguments literally says, hey, this guy shot people with a gun that he knew he wasn't supposed to have. They got caught lying in the closing arguments. Will the judge call them on the carpet or not? Or will the jury allowed to be tainted with that? Now, we better be very careful because the prosecution in the Rittenhouse trial and in the Charlottesville trials, they want a mistrial because they want to be able to come back at them again and have a second round at them. That's part of the problem as well in these situations. Very damning, very serious, very concerning. This is going on. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. But think about it. When the prosecution gets caught lying, when the FBI admits that it doesn't track leftist violence, riots, looting, vandalism, all under the BLM and Antifa banners and stuff. What the heck, folks? We've got a problem in America when we give these people credibility. Anyway, our prayers are for justice. Our prayers are for mercy for all of them. And I hope that people literally go to my website, callforcivility.com, and they work on civility here. This is out of control. From the hatred to the violence to the attacks to the misrepresentation of the truth. You know, bearing false witness is one of the great Ten Commandments that we ought not do. And I think that's what's happening here in these cases as well. What a sad tale, huh? All right, enough of that. James Edwards will be with us next hour to break it down even further. All right. Oroville, California, ladies and gentlemen, is an interesting place where conservative people have had enough. All right. Oroville, California declares itself a constitutional republic. Stops enforcing states' tyrannical mandates, Abby Liebing. I think that's how you say it. Abby Liebing, the Western Journal, doing a great job here, and she breaks it down in detail here. They're sick of it. They can't take it anymore. And so they're pushing back. They say the state, or the governor, Gavin Newsom, by the way, that's the guy that used to be married to the girl that's now the girlfriend of Donald Trump Jr. Isn't that strange? Bedfellows? Very interesting. Wow. Anyway, Gavin Newsom literally is creating these lockdowns and mandates, and literally the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, acting like a dictator. And he extended his tyrannical abuse well into 2022, and the town went, whoa, no, stop, hold on, no. And more people are starting to realize this. They first asked for 10 days to flatten the curve, 14 days to flatten the curve, right? Now they're literally going, this is just not what we're doing here. And as these governors continue to just abuse the citizenry, all under this, in my opinion, false notion of an emergency. We're not in an emergency 2 years later. Do we have a problem? Yes, we do. We have a problem, but it's not an emergency. 2 years later, it's not that the governor has to act or the executive branch has to act because everybody's in serious jeopardy. That's not true. So the Oroville City Council adopted a resolution stating it would oppose state and federal orders that it deems to be government overreach. Amen to that. But it all comes down to the sheriff. All right, you got health restrictions imposed by the governor. There's strife between the states, governments, rural, conservative regions. All right, the city Oroville is about 90 miles from Sacramento, just so you know where it is. Oroville leaders explained that the designation was a way of affirming the city's values and pushing back against state rules that it does not agree with. Experts say the designation was merely a gesture and did not grant the city any new authority. No, they don't need new authority, folks. This is the problem. Who works for who here? All right. California has been the first to implement lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccination requirements, and so on. All right. They've been so sick of it, they tried to recall the governor. Now, last year, Oroville refused to enforce state requirements prohibiting indoor dining. Butte County, where Oroville is located, declined to back a mask mandate earlier this fall. They say even though cases surged. Before passing the resolution, council members argued they were taking a stand and advocating for residents to make their own health choices. Quote, I assure you, folks, that great thought was put into every bit of this, the city's mayor, Chuck Reynolds, said. Nobody willy-nilly put something together to grandstand on this thing. Anyway, a rural law expert named Lisa Pruitt at the University of Davis says it's not clear what the designation meant. A municipality cannot unilaterally declare it's not subject to the state laws of California. So whatever they mean by constitutional republic, you can't just say this hocus-pocus and make it happen, she says. Leaders in the city of 20,000 say it's an effort to push back against state government and affirm the city's commitment to the Constitution. Now, sadly, they say they put their own resolution together after they couldn't find any resolutions. They could have come to us, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and found a great resolution. But nevertheless, again, we all got to try to learn how to work together. It's very hard. But they say we have unreasonably intrusive mandates, and it's excessive overreach by our government. Our state governor seems to be crazy. He's on a rampage. And the mandates are getting more intrusive. Now he's going after our kids in our schools. The majority of the people who spoke at the Oroville City meeting spoke in favor of the resolution, applauding its introduction and calling council members heroes. Yeah. We hope by becoming a constitutional republic city, it's the best step to maintain our inalienable rights protected by the Constitution of the United States. If we don't have that, if we don't have bodily autonomy, what do we have? A speaker said in tears. What am I going to let them do to my kids? Where does it stop? Anyway, there you have it. One council member argued that mandates were political theater and your immune system is the best defense against disease. It's the best protection against COVID-19 is vaccination, some say. But there you have it. It was a 6-1 vote. One basically voted against it, saying it's a political statement. It has no teeth. But it is a common central theme in Northern California that the region is ignored and obliterated by the liberal state leaders. There you have it. Anyway, they're going to the Jefferson effort to secede from California and join Oregon. But the city's gesture, they say, does not grant it more power or more ability to ignore state law. It makes the people of Oroville feel better that their city council has made this gesture. But they want you to know that it doesn't make any difference, they claim. I think it does make a difference. You can say, well, it doesn't have teeth. I know. But the more we start to push back, the more we start to educate, the more we start to peacefully express our displeasure, I think the better. Right? That's really important in my opinion. It's important to push back. It's important to stand up. It's important to be on record. Okay? Because otherwise they'll go, you know what, when we push this through, nobody complained, nobody pushed back, nobody even... No. We are pushing back and we're showing our displeasure. And the more government ignores us, well, the more we have a Declaration of Independence claim, don't we? Okay, the Founding Fathers waited and waited and waited and waited, and they documented before a candid world their claims of abuse. We're doing the same. And at some point, the Declaration of Independence justification makes sense. I don't believe we're there yet by a long shot, but I believe that's where we want to get. I believe that's where we need to focus, right? Anyway, there you have it. I thought I'd bring that to your attention. In my opinion, very good step, even though the government and the lawyers and everybody else wants to tell you it means nothing. I disagree. It is documenting the reality of the trouble we're facing. And it's an effort to do something serious about it, isn't it? Let's be very clear there as well. All right, now 12 states announced on Monday they're suing the Biden administration to block the vaccine mandate for health care workers, arguing the mandate is unconstitutional and violates several federal laws. That's good news. Generals from Alabama, Arizona, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, and West Virginia announced the suit on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. We got to push back. We can do so peacefully. We can hold the moral high ground and remain civil, but we need to stand up for God, family, and country. Hour one of the can. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. Hour two coming up in seconds. We declare this nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.